can't decide and torn between a romantic, comedy, action, or an indie film to watch for the weekend? Well, well, well. Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast is your ultimate guide to the latest movies. Join us as we dissect the latest on the blockbusters. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Movie Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacey.
And I'm your other host, Sarah.
And today we're talking about two films that I was really excited about for the female characters. So our first film is I Feel Pretty, which is Amy Schumer's new movie. In it, she plays a woman, Renee, who works for a makeup company, Lily LeClaire. And she's stuck in like some basement putting products online, but she really wants to be where all the action is. And she goes to a Soul Cycle class to sort of try and get healthy and ends up hitting her head and starts to believe that she's this really pretty hot girl, even though nothing's changed.
Okay. Are you a fan of Amy Schumer in general?
I'm not. And okay. I think that might have influenced this movie. I went into it really excited because I thought the premise was interesting. Mm-hmm. But I haven't seen Trainwrecked, but I had tried to watch her Apollo special. Mm-hmm. And I got about 20 minutes in and I was just like, I don't find this funny at all, and stopped watching.
Yeah, she rubs me a bit the wrong way, and I haven't quite figured out exactly why. I mean, I know a lot of people find her really hilarious, and she's just not quite my sense of humor, I guess.
Yeah, I just don't find her that funny. And sadly, I didn't find this movie that funny, unfortunately. So there's a couple of things. A, I didn't find it funny, but B, I feel that they also didn't, like, fully... I'm not sure if it's... They didn't fully commit to the sort of premise, or they didn't stick the landing or something, because this could have been a really good film sort of questioning our beauty standards mm-hmm. for the day. And the fact that, you know, sort of all you kind of need is confidence, because nothing about the way Amy Schumer looks changes in this film, but she hits her head, and as she hits her head, like, she, the Soul Cycle person is like, you're gonna look in the mirror and see the person you've always wanted to be, and so that, like,
okay,
goes on her. Mm-hmm. It's not quite amnesia, but I'm not quite sure what that would be. And so when she comes to, she thinks she looks amazing. And people's reactions are just like, okay, whatever. But it gives her this whole new level of confidence. And so with that, she goes and she gets the job she wants at Lily LeClaire. And she gets a new boyfriend. And this film could have been, you know, saying a lot about that and about how you don't actually need to look a certain way. You just need to have the confidence to go out and do things.
Mm-hmm. But I'm gonna, yeah. I have a theory as to what you're gonna say next.
Do you want to share?
Well, I'm going to assume, and you know what they say about assuming, that it was just a lot of more kind of poor taste jokes about what could have been a more socially conscious topic.
No, actually.
Really?
Not quite.
Okay.
What it is, it's a little weird, and the film doesn't quite make up its mind about whether or not her personality or memories or whatever are changed. So, like, she thinks she looks great, and there's actually a scene where she goes to tell her friends at the bar, and she, like, covers their mouths and is like, don't scream. I know you don't believe me, but it's me, Renee. And they're like, what are you talking? Yeah, okay, whatever. We know it's you. She's like, you would never have known it was me if I didn't tell you, right? It's like, yeah, sure, okay.
Oh, okay, that is a little weird.
But she and her friends, who were all not typically beautiful, had signed up for this grouper thing, which is group dating Tinder or something like that.
That sounds like nothing could go wrong.
It's, you have to be in groups of three, and you know, you put your profile up, and then another group of three wants to go on a group date, and they swipe right. I don't know. It's a little weird. But at the start, she's very nice and she helps her friend like put on makeup and says, no, you look great. And, you know, you don't have to worry about all that. But then once she becomes pretty, she becomes sort of like a snob. And so like when they actually do go on this group date, she's like, I'm just totally, I have a boyfriend, but I'm totally here to be like a wing woman for you. And one of the girls comments on one of the guys like scarves and he's like, oh, thank you. My sister or whatever made it for me. And she's really into like traditional something weaving. And they start getting into this conversation about weaving, which congratulations, you found a really interesting topic that, you know, most people couldn't talk about to talk about together. And Amy Schumer decides to like, you know, interrupt. Oh, you don't want to hear about that. What's really great about my friend? And she's like, keeps ruining their date. And finally they pull her aside. Like, what are you doing? And she's like, I want to help you guys. Just be hotter. And she's like, what are you talking about? Mm. Or when she finally gets the job at Lily Claire, she's the receptionist. And she at first was like really nice, but then she's on the phone one time and this older woman comes up and she's like, yeah, just a minute. But then this younger woman who looks like a model comes up and she's like, oh, hey, how can I help you? As she's still on the phone. It's like, why did you suddenly become like a jerk just because you became pretty?
Yeah, I don't like that.
And it's not because like she's completely changed. Like the film can't make up its mind as to whether or not she remembers what it's like to be her regular self, because the way she gets, I don't think it's the way she gets the job, but the way she gets in with the CEO's granddaughter of Lily LeClaire, who's played by Michelle Williams, doing an interesting voice in this film, because that's part of her character, is that it has a really high voice for some reason.
Okay.
Michelle Williams, just better than this film deserves. But she gets in with this woman because she's helping to set up a meeting for this product they're launching. They're launching their diffusion line, which is sort of makeup that more regular people can afford. And so it's going to be at Target as opposed to at, like, you know, Bloomberg's or something. So they're talking about how to launch this diffusion line. And Amy Schumer is, like, setting up the water or whatever for the meeting. And she accidentally hits the product out of one of the girl's hands. And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Let me get that. And so she's like, okay, here's the blush. And here's the compact that it goes into. And now I just need to find the makeup brush and I'll be out of your hair. And Michelle Williams' character is like, there is no makeup brush. And Amy Schumer's like, oh, really? But never mind. I won't say anything. And Michelle asked her to explain. And she's like, well, I get that none of you have ever shopped at Target for makeup, but a regular woman, you know, paying however much for makeup at Target is going to be pissed when she opens it to find there's not brush. And having this sort of like, you're trying to create a makeup line for real women, even though none of you have ever shopped like a real woman thing. But I totally was a regular woman, so I have all this insight. That's what gets her sort of on Michelle Williams' character's good side.
Okay.
But then, so it's like, you remember what it's like to not be pretty, but then you become pretty and you become a total jerk. So you don't remember what it's like to not be pretty? Or what is this? It drove me crazy because it was like, oh, hey, remember how I totally know what it's like to be a regular woman, even though I totally think I'm hot now? Yeah, you're totally going to forget about that in 5 minutes when I act like I've never not been hot in my life. She's like, what are you doing, film? What?
Yeah, this film does sound a little confused.
It's just like, yeah, it couldn't make up. And I guess, I mean, the story doesn't happen every day, so it's not like you can really go off. This is totally what happens when you hit your head and think you look different. Right. We have research to
back
this up.
Well, Stacey, this happened to a friend of mine. She hit her. No, I don't know.
Yeah.
I got nothing.
And, like, again, it could have been this really great film talking about beauty standards and, you know, how those are ridiculous and we don't need to live up to them. But there's this speech at the end that Amy Schumer gives after she hits her head again, so that she's back to her normal self, because that's totally how head injuries work.
Mm-hmm. At least in the movies, that's the way they always work.
Yeah, someone has amnesia, just hit them over the head again. They'll be fine. There's no possible permanent damage there.
I would just like to say that we here at the GSMC Movie Review Movie Podcast are not advocating you hitting someone over the head who has amnesia or any kind of head injury.
Unless they are like a cartoon character and could survive like falling off a cliff like Wile E. Coyote or Who Framed Roger Rabbit, then maybe you might be good. But otherwise, real people, please don't. But anyways, because this film, the character is working for this makeup company, she has this speech at the end where she's gotten back to her quote-unquote regular self, but because she thinks people won't recognize her as her regular self. She's like, she didn't go on a date with her boyfriend and she hasn't been showing up at work, even though there was this big presentation coming up.
Okay, so both times she doesn't think people are going to recognize her, even though nothing has changed except that she hits her head.
Yes.
Twice.
But because she didn't get the job or meet her boyfriend till after she hit her head the first time, she thinks they think she looks different, if that made any sense.
Well, yes and no.
So if Amy Schumer, when she hits her head, thinks she looks like... Who would you think she looks like? I'll go with Beyonce. Not
Amy, but let's just to make it as different as possible, yeah.
Amy Schumer, when she... Because, like, the first thing she says when she hits her head is like, oh, look at my thighs, they're amazing. Sort of things like that. So let's just go with the Beyonce completely. Amy Schumer, when she hits her head, thinks she looks at, like Beyonce... So she feels super confident. She meets her boyfriend at a dry cleaner by telling him, oh, hey, you must be new here because we didn't know you had to, like, pull a number from the little thing to wait in line or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, okay, thanks. And then he's like, so what's your number? She's like, oh, is this how this happens? Guy's just thinking he's asking for her phone number.
Oh, geez.
And so that's how they meet. So she thinks he hasn't seen her as herself. He's only seen Beyonce. And the same thing goes for when she goes to get the job. She thinks they've only seen Beyonce. So when she hits her head again, she thinks they have no clue what Amy Schumer looks like. But her friends wouldn't know what Beyonce looks like. it's not as confusing as it sounds in the film. You totally get it then,
okay, because I'm a little confused right now. But
in her head, she thinks because they met me after I became pretty, when I become unpretty again, they won't know what I look like and I'm too ashamed to show my face. And also, how do you really explain that if that had actually physically happened? Right, I'm in a completely physically different body, but I'm still the same person. You're not going crazy when I'm not crazy. Like, yeah. Good luck with that one.
Well, as your person who looks stuff up, Rotten Tomatoes agrees with you, both the critics and the audience score. Critics 34%, audience 29%.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I feel like Amy Schumer could be so much funnier than she is. And that's just my own personal opinion. But I feel like she could be funnier or, like, use her funniness more intelligently.
Right. Well, and with this film, like, again, it can't quite make up its mind as to whether or not she remembers what it's like to be unpretty when she thinks she is pretty.
Right.
But even with that, she has this great speech at the end where she's trying to say, you know, regular women are great. And it's sort of her also making up with her friends who she was totally rude to. And so she has this, like, collage of all... regular women and how regular women are awesome for a speech for the launch of a makeup line. And it's just like, and she, and her character tries to, like, you know, realizes that as well. And it's like, and none of you need makeup, but whatever, what I'm like,
oh. None of you need makeup, but come buy ours.
But we're selling this great line. And I'm just like, you completely undercut that message. And buy our makeup, now available at Target. It's just like, what are you doing? What is this? Make up your mind one way or the other, film.
Make up your mind. Sorry. I'm sorry.
It took me a moment to get away. Okay.
We're both tired.
But yeah. But I mean, like, the best part about this film, I think, for me, was actually kind of her boyfriend. And there's this whole strange side story with Michelle Williams' brother, who's, you know, rich and handsome and always has a model on his arm, but like everyone else is sort of charmed by her, by Amy Schumer, when she gets the confidence by thinking she's pretty. And she's much more outgoing and she's not flirting with him at first, but just the fact that she's, you know, willing to be super confident with him to a guy that, you know, probably makes women stutter when they see him. Sort of is like, oh, hey, this chick's kind of interesting. And there's a strange thing with them where it's like they are but aren't interested in each other, or I don't know what's going on there.
But she has a boyfriend who she's still with at this point, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's actually what leads to the second head injury. But her boyfriend...
Well, there's a weird statement.
Even the way she gets her boyfriend is a little strange, because he agrees to go out with her because he's a little scared of what she'd do if he said no.
Oh.
And I'm just like, this, how, the fact that this relationship goes anywhere.
Yeah, based on that kind of an opening, not good.
And this is one of those films that you often see where it's like, if people just stopped for a moment and actually had like a let me say clearly what I'm saying conversation, this film would be over in like...
Well, that's, you know, that is so often the case with movies, with books, where you're just like, can you just say what you're thinking? Which... obviously doesn't happen in real life either, because we have all kinds of communication issues. But as the reader or the watcher, sometimes you just want to scream at them.
So like there's a scene near the end where after she thinks she's become unpretty again, she's supposed to have a date with her boyfriend, but of course doesn't want to go because she doesn't think she's pretty anymore. She goes.
But he liked you before, right?
But the pretty one, he liked the pretty one before.
Oh, I thought they were together before she was pretty.
No.
Okay.
After she was pretty.
See, I'm so confused.
Yeah. But she goes to the bar anyways, just to sort of see him, but doesn't think he recognizes her. So she sits at the bar and like turns her back on him. And so he's like, okay. And as she's sitting at the bar, he comes up to her and is sort of like flirting with her, but because she's acting like she doesn't know him, he thinks they're playing a game.
Oh no.
And they completely talk around. It's like you only needed like three more words to make this clear that you know she's her, but we of course never say that, and we're just completely talking around each other. And it's just like, oh, I can't. Just, oh, come on. Seriously. And then like, so she runs out because she thinks he's cheating on her because he hit on the girl he doesn't know that his girlfriend looks like. It's so ridiculous. And gives a phone call, and he's like, I thought we were just having fun. And she's thinking he's talking about dating, and he's talking about the moment they just had at the bar where they were flirting. And I'm just like, I can't with this movie. What are you doing? It's not funny, and it doesn't have a good message. And again, it's one of those things that if you hate those things where it's like, if you just stopped and like actually asked what the person was really saying, you'd be over in 5 minutes. Things, if you hate those, you will definitely hate this, because it comes up with her friends and her work people and her book. Just all around, not a fan of this movie, sorry to say.
Wow. Okay, well.
So we're gonna take a short break. Stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Movie Podcast.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back. You're listening to the GSMC Movie Podcast. And our second film is also another film I had high hopes for involving women, which is Wonder Woman, which was, I haven't seen any of the other DC comic films. So I think before Justice League, but after Batman versus Superman, maybe?
Definitely after Batman versus Superman, because, hey, a movie I've seen, both of those. I saw Batman versus Superman, and I saw Wonder Woman. And so she's kind of introduced in Batman versus Superman, and right. She is the best part of that movie.
That's what I heard. And so that's why I was really excited for Wonder Woman.
Yeah, but can I just say one thing about Batman versus Superman that cracked me up? When she appears, so like Superman can fly and Wonder Woman can fly, and then the Ben Affleck version of Batman has this huge clunky suit, and so they go, Superman and Wonder Woman go flying off after the bad guy, and Batman's like, clump, 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 like running after them in these huge boots.
Okay, wow.
That's about all I remember about that movie. Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, Wonder Woman in the strange... The way DC is doing their whole superhero universe is a little strange in that we got her in Batman and Superman, but this is her origin story. And so we're going back in time. Mm-hmm. And it's a little, she's raised on the island of, Greek name I won't try to pronounce, which is the island of the Amazons. And she's the daughter of the queen there, and there's only the Amazons there. And then Chris Pine, who plays an American soldier, crashes his plane into the ocean near her island, and she saves him, and he introduces her to the fact that, oh, hey, there's this big war going on out in the world, and millions of people are dying, and the other side has these really dangerous weapons that will mean even more millions of people die, and I have to stop them. And she's like, it's my duty as whatever to go out and stop essentially evil people.
Well, it's the god of war, Ares. Right. So, you know, the Diana, she is the daughter of Diana, Hippolyta. And so there's a whole... there's that whole connection with Greek mythology. There is a beginning story that talks about Ares and kind of putting evil into the hearts of humanity so that they create war. And so she feels it's her duty to stop
Ares.
Yeah. But one thing that kind of bugged me was, so she grows up on this island of just Amazons, and her mother doesn't want her to train. Like, there aren't a lot of children, so her mother doesn't want her to train, but her aunt trains her, and she's determined to learn. I mean, why would you not let your kid train on an island where nobody does anything but train?
Well, okay, so there, I mean, I think there are, because she has a tutor at one point, and then at one point I think she addresses one of the women as, like, senator. I'm not sure what you're senating on. Senating. The That's a verb. I say it. But yeah, the thing that threw me off is there's no other children on the island. That the queen actually says that at one point, why she doesn't want Diana to chain. She's a child and the only child on the island.
Well, it's because it's an island full of women. Where Diana came from, well, we'll just not talk about that.
Well, and also, I mean, Diana's told a story that she was sculpted from clay. And
right, Zeus
breathed life into her. But her mother doesn't want her to train, as we later find out, because as she trains, she gets stronger and her powers get stronger, and that would make her easier to find for Ares.
Right.
But I had so many questions watching this movie. Half the time it's either, wait, what? Or why the heck are you doing that? Like, literally, those were, like, my only two options for reactions to this film. Because even from the beginning, you get... Her mother tells her this story about the battle between Zeus and Ares, in which all the other gods died, except for Ares was cast out, and then Zeus somehow later died. I'm still confused on that. But it's like, does everyone live forever on this island? Because judging by that story, that is ancient Greek. But then when we get to Chris Pine... It's supposed to be World War I, and Diana's only somewhere in her early 20s and was a child and then grow up, so she physically changes that way. So it's like...
But in the 2000s, when she meets Batman and Superman, still the same age. Yeah. Actually, a little bit younger, because that movie came first.
Yeah, so she lives a really long time, but it's just like, does everyone else on the Amazon island also live a really long time?
Because her mother and her aunt are clearly older. I mean, you know, they aren't in their 20s, so obviously you age, but maybe it's just extraordinarily slow.
Well, and her mother and her aunt fought in the battle against Ares.
Right.
Which we are led to believe, you know, was a long, long time ago, at least by Ares, when we finally get to Ares, that, you know, this has been centuries of man waging war and killing each other. So it's like, okay, but it was centuries, but it was also in their lifetime, because they seem to just be human, regular humans. What? Who? How long has it been on this island since that first story we told? And, I mean, frankly, the island's kind of ridiculous. How has nobody else discovered this island before Chris Pine?
Right. Because
the way the island is hidden, I'm like, that's...
He's not... Captain Kirk. Of course he can find it.
And it felt a bit like Captain Kirk at times. Because there are several plans he goes through in this, and they're all ridiculous. Like...
Yeah. Now, the strange thing is that overall, I enjoyed this movie. I thought it was fun. But... Like, if you just watch it without really thinking about it, it's kind of fun. But when you start really thinking about it, like my mom's comment was, okay, she's lived on this island with no one with the Amazons, but she speaks like 800 languages. There was a few things that I found funny, like when she's trying on clothes and she keeps trying to, like, do kickboxing moves in them. And she says, how do you fight in these things? I mean, there are moments that I just thought it was kind of funny, but... logically, it didn't make a lot of sense.
See, and I had a hard time very quickly, even with the Amazons, even when Diana's a child, because we see the Amazons training and you see Diana sitting high on a hill and sort of mimicking them because she also wants to train and fight. And it's like, okay, but watching these Amazons fight, I'm immediately sort of out. The CGI doesn't look super great, or it doesn't look super believable, because we're not led to believe that any of these Amazons are anything other than human, but mm-hmm. they're, you know, doing like flips and turns like 15 feet in the air. And I'm just like, it just kind of looks physically not real. That body wouldn't move like that. I'm a little taken out here. What's going on? And then when you do start questioning things, it is, yeah. The once you start questioning things, it's just like downhill from there.
Right.
And it's so, just, this felt actually, for me watching it, and I don't know, and maybe you can look this up, researcher Sarah, which one came first, Wonder Woman or Captain America. This felt very Captain America for me.
Which one came first in terms of the comic books?
In terms of the comics. Because, you know, Wonder Woman has that outfit, which is, for some odd reason, red, white, and blue, even though she takes that outfit from the Amazon island, and we don't really see anyone wearing those colors. Everyone's in sort of, like, colors of brown and tan. Mm-hmm. But for some odd reason, they also have this outfit in red, white, and blue. It just happens to be America's colors. Great. And she's, you know, running around very super powered, but we don't really see her fly until near the end. So it feels like a lot like Captain America of super powered human who can't fly in the red, white, and blue with these very black and white ideas of what's right and what's wrong with the shield.
And there is that scene where she crosses no man's land in World War II. And, you know, she crosses that area of ground called no man's land. And she really uses her shield in a way that feels very Captain America. I mean, she doesn't like fling it and it comes back to her, but she uses it in a way.
Yeah. So there was times I was just like, I don't know. I feel like the comic creators, at least, if not the movie creators, one way or another referenced, we're trying to compete with each other of, this is our version of that person's comic. Do you know which one's first?
Well, they're both 1941.
Oh.
So you were World War II. But Captain America was March and Wonder Woman was the end of 1941. So
okay,
a little later. Now, I do know, because I watched a documentary on Wonder Woman, that the creator of Wonder Woman was very into bondage. Uh-huh. And that is the reason that if you read the early comics, they got a lot past the censors. Wonder Woman is always tying people up and she's looking really happy about it. And there's a lot of references. He had a, not exactly an open marriage, but he had his mistress live with them at the same time. And his mistress was really into bondage, and it was a very interesting origin. And so Wonder Woman started out as just this kick butt woman, and then when the original creator stopped working on it, she became literally a secretary. She had no superpowers. She was a secretary. I think she worked in a flower shop at one point. She was a wedding planner. They had all these comics where it was just about a wedding planner or a florist. The history of Wonder Woman as character is fascinating to me, because she went through a lot of changes.
But you know, the war was over then, and it was time for women to get back into the kitchen and give the men back their jobs
and stop them up with the lasso of truth.
Well, and that's a whole other topic. But I mean, so there's a plan. Chris Pine's character, for some odd reason, decides to take Wonder Woman to the front. I'm not sure why. It's just like, you have there's nothing to lead you to believe that she'd actually be able to do anything here, but sure, why not? Just take her to the battle.
I mean, I guess he did see them fight on the beach when, he first finds the island, and then the Nazis?
It's the Germans, at least.
Germans find the island. So, he has seen them fight, at least, but yeah, I don't know.
But no, they also, half of them died in that battle, because it's bows and arrows versus guns.
Yeah,
there's that. There's nothing to believe this one woman will totally change the tide of the war.
She's hot and Chris Pine, you know, he's a...
But see, that was one of the things I had a major problem with.
I understand.
Is she's walking around either in battle or even in London carrying a sword and shield, and nobody comments like, this is out of the ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just like, and they somehow get her like into the trenches before she goes to no man's. I'm just like, seriously? Nobody was commenting on this woman in the cape? just walking through the war trenches? Really?
Or nobody was commenting
this every day
on this woman when she takes off her cloak and she's just wearing a metal right. swimming suit.
And I hate that that outfit wasn't changed. Like, we're going to change so much, including whichever war we're fighting and all these other things. And we really couldn't change that outfit, which never, ever felt like she. You talked about when she's in London and doing kickboxing and how do women fight in these outfits. How do you fight in that outfit?
I know. How do you move with your torso encased in unyielding?
Well, and that was my one of the problems I had with the Amazons also. It's like, yeah, you're doing this really kick butt training in like a leather bustier and a flappy skirt. Mm-hmm. Why would you go into battle in that? And what world does that make sense to go into battle in that outfit?
And aren't delicate bits being chafed?
But like the final plan, the whole final battle is ridiculous. It's crazy levels of destruction
of course,
and things going boom, and it's just like, mm-hmm. why? And it's, again, it's one of those, seriously, no one's going to comment or notice, because they have this battle at a German military base, and things start going boom, but it seems like the German soldiers are just like, carry on as normal. I'm just like, wait, what?
It's war. Things are blown up all the time.
What the heck is going on right now? And it's just like the final sort of scene with Chris Pine, I'm just like, that plan is stupid. That plan makes no sense. It's completely unnecessary and ridiculous. By about like 3/5 of the way through, I'm kind of like, I just don't even care. We're clearly not even trying to be realistic. Like, there's too many things of she shouldn't be there, or someone should totally have noticed she was there, or why are you even bothering to help them with their plan, that I'm just like, are we done yet? Can we please? Let's move on. And I wanted to like this film. I had heard that Wonder Woman was the best thing about Batman versus Superman.
She was.
I was excited that she was getting her own film before Justice League came out. I wanted to like the film, and I couldn't. It was just so, and like when she gets into the party with the sword, and I'm like, nobody
sees
that.
Yeah, that was interesting. And then she's dancing with the guy, and he, yeah, that's a big sword, and she's just got it down the back of her dress. How is she?
Like, there's a lot in this movie that feels like, it just is because the script says so. Move on. Like, I'm just like, but.
Okay, well, as I do, I looked it up, and this time you and Rotten Tomatoes are not in agreement.
I know.
Because
I know.
Critics gave it 92% and audience 88%. So audience a little less than critics, but
I don't know why. Like, again, I went in wanting to like it, and very quickly with the CGI, I was just like, okay. But then even with Diana, it's like, look, I want to root for you. I really want to be on your side. And fine, I get, you know, this is your origin story. And again, you feel very much, and you and Superman and everything that came during World War II was very much in that, you know, sort of what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. Huzzah America sort of idea. So, okay, fine. I get we're going to have that. But she's so, again, you said like,
that she's not American, first off.
Well, she's not. And the accent is interesting. And I think she's the only one doing an accent, but like her mother and aunt, I'm not sure do one.
Well, everyone kind of does a different accent.
Right. The Amazons. And I liked that about the Amazons, that the Amazons were multiracial.
Yes.
I thought that was cool. But then like with everything else, it's like, oh, you know a whole lot. And you speak all these languages, including like English and German, which again, I'm not sure what time it is and how long this island has been here and how old you're supposed to be that you speak these hundreds of languages.
And they do explain that a little bit by saying that they're kind of at the, how do they say it? They're kind of at the, like, vortex isn't the word I'm looking for, but like they span all the worlds. So like somehow it was something that was said at the beginning that sounded mm-hmm. like they are kind of like a gateway between all the worlds, sort of. So maybe
I missed that part.
I don't know. There was something that made me go, oh, maybe that's how she learned all the languages somehow. But I don't know. I also did like her conversation about sex with Chris Pine, which was hilarious considering she grew up with all women and he was very 1940s.
Men are not necessary for pleasure. Right? was interesting.
For me, when I dissect it, it's not logical. But for some reason, I was able to suspend disbelief, and I actually enjoyed it for the most part. I really liked Gal Gadot. And watching her just kind of kick butt and run around, I enjoyed it. But yeah, when I really try to take the plot apart. Mm. Not believable.
I think if they had changed her outfit to actually be something you would totally imagine a person who's been trained their whole life to fight would decide to wear into a battle. And I think even her sandals are like wedge heels. And I was just like, why? But I think if it had actually looked like, yes, this is a reasonable thing that you would wear into a battle, maybe I might have actually been able to at least get into the battle, the action scenes. Mm-hmm. Because I can get why people would think the whole no man's land scene was pretty cool. But I just found it. I was like, okay, look, you've got a lot of leg on display and that shield does not cover your whole body and they're firing machine guns at you, so you should have been hit, like, oh, whatever. And we don't yet know that whether or not bullets won't impact your leg, so what? Like, it was too hard to get past the that's not what you would wear and nobody's gonna comment on the wood woman and inter battle scene here, so whatever. And the side characters I also didn't like. The three people,
they felt a little stereotypical.
They did.
Maybe a lot stereotypical.
Well, and also I thought Samir was okay, but for the rest I didn't even think they were that great at acting. And their storyline, especially with Charlie, it was just like, so wait, you were brought here for this thing that you can't do and now what?
Like, right. They didn't explain it very well. Yeah.
I'm not sure you need to be here. Why are you? I don't get it. I get a lot of people like it. I'm not sure why. Please, I guess Justin's thing is already out. For the next one, can we have her in a actual legitimate outfit?
Probably not.
Probably not, because I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So on that sad note, I apologize. Hopefully I will like the films in the next episode, and we'll see you then. Thanks for listening to the GSMC Movie Podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.